Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Françoise. Thanks so much for joining us today on this beautiful September Sunday. I am Françoise Rhodes, just returned from Montana, and what a trip. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. We made it through the first hour.
As quick as always.
Quick as always. Just flew right by. Had our guest Karen Hooper in from the Inland Empire Ronald McDonald House. And, of course, we had talked about all sorts of events, which will be posted on the Traveling with Françoise website. Today's show is presented by CoachellaValley.com, the place to make your life fun and interesting. So make sure you check that out. And my new travel blog is posted as well. And this one is on Lake Henshaw and Mount Palomar Observatory. So go to the travel section on CoachellaValley.com. There you go. And it is right there. All right. Today's show, as I told you, I was gone to Montana all week long. So we have a lot to talk about. We have some industry news. I don't even know where to start, but I do want to say it's a lot of fun when your travel buddy calls you up and says, hey, Françoise, have you ever been to Montana? And you go, no. And they say, well, let's go. So joining us here in studio is one of my favorite travel buddies, John Monahan. Hey, John.
Hello, Francois. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm recovered.
Long time no see. Since, what, Friday?
I can't even. I was showing Jack the map of where we went in Montana and Yellowstone National Park, and his mouth just fell open.
Well, actually, mine fell open too after we were done. It was like I looked at the map and I thought, we went that far? It was great. We drove. Actually, my friend Craig drove. I mean, we are so fortunate to have the best guests in the entire world.
Oh, the best hosts. So
we were the guests. I meant the hosts.
And yeah. We're going to talk about kind of how all that fell together just really briefly, but it really was one of those memorable trips that I think we were both on, brain overload towards the end. It was funny because Becky and I, our hostess, we were in the backseat talking in the car, and she was trying to explain some more things to me. My brain just kind of, I just said to her, I go, Becky, I don't think I can process anymore. We have seen so much. It was such an amazing trip. So much fun.
And so, Craig drove, I think, 12 hours the first day.
Yeah.
14 hours the second day and didn't even complain
bit. And cracked the funniest jokes, folks, the whole time.
I know. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. So we're going to talk about Montana. We're going to cover a few things that are going on in the world of travel, though, right now. And then we'll take a break and come back into to Montana. But I want to let everyone know that the fires that shut down Interstate 5 through the weekend, because the big fire up in the California-Oregon border, and 5 is a main thoroughway for truckers and everybody going up to what 5 goes from, let me see, I have this all marked down, from Canada, the West Coast, from Mexico to Canada,
yeah.
The entire West Coast.
I was watching the news last night, and they said that they were delayed truckers
for
like 2 days, and one trucker was actually delivering bananas, and he said by the time he gets there, the bananas will be all ruined.
Yeah, and they gave them the choice is to go 115 miles out of your way or sit and wait.
Right.
And they're going to hopefully get it open today, so if you're traveling up I-5, please check to make sure that it's even open yet, because it might not be. So, and you want to, I'm just trying to give you a heads up on that. All right, other things happening in the news, colossal loss makers. U.S. Airlines cut China flights. So, American Airlines is dropping money losing flights between Chicago, Shanghai, and Hawaiian Airlines will suspend its only route to China because of low demand, which is really the opposite of what the travel industry was hoping for. And of course, they're talking about all the tariffs and different ways for the Asian market to get here, which has been a little challenging lately. So right now, it's not. The companies have spent millions and billions of dollars to the marketing the Asians to come here to the United States. And now,
it's not working.
It's not working. So, but we did see quite a few. We saw people from all over the world at Yellowstone National Park.
All over the world, and everybody friendly. And everybody had a smile on their face.
They were just so in awe. No, I don't think I ever heard one talk of politics anywhere. Everybody was just immersed in where they were.
And nobody was in a rush.
Yes,
we were backed up by 10 cars. Yes. We weren't in a hurry.
Was that for the bison traffic jam?
I think it was.
I'm already getting off track. But we're driving one of the highways that we took, and it was late in the afternoon. It was probably 5 o'clock, 5:30 or so, and we see a bunch of cars stopped ahead of us. And Craig says, of course, it must be animal sighting, because as soon as there's an animal sighting. But it was a traffic jam with bisons that were all over the road. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like a little kid going, oh, my gosh, this is why I've never seen a bison
And then there
before.
Was another traffic jam where there wasn't a bison in the road, but somebody had stopped to get out of the car to take a picture.
Yes. And then everybody thought there was something right. there. And I think there was, what, 100 frolicking bighorn sheep yeah. in the mountain. I don't know.
It's funny because all you really needed to do is get out of your car and point. And then everybody would stop and yeah. get their cameras out and thinking that you were really pointing at something. And you
yeah.
weren't.
Yeah, you could really have some jokes there.
Yeah.
And, Sean, I know you've been to Yellowstone Park as well. And I wanted to ask you, when you were there, did you take the time to stop and sightsee?
I was a kid, but yeah, we did.
Oh,
We drove around, and I remember stopping a lot, actually.
A lot. You have to. You have to really enjoy it and take advantage of it. All right, here's a little bit more other industry news, which, by the way, is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. Make sure you take advantage of all their free classes offered over at the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, 760-321-1111. All right, there's a new airline, California Pacific, ready for its West Coast takeoff. The California Pacific is actually going to be based out of Carlsbad area at the McClellan Palomar Airport, and it will be flying to Las Vegas, San Jose, Reno, Nevada, and it is set to launch on November 1st, and Phoenix as well. So they're going to see how this smaller airline, they're thinking, you know, they kind of have a taxi in mind, like the United Express and whatnot. Uh-huh. This is going to be the same type of format to get people in these shorter destinations and not have to, you know, go through so much trouble on what some of us go through to get from here to San Francisco. Actually, we had no problems. We've got to just... Our flights were
on time.
Yeah,
actually early. We had no problems.
Smooth,
we had good seats.
Good seats.
We got upgraded for I have no idea why to first class from San Francisco to Bozeman.
Spoiled me. Yeah, I tell you those seats are definitely a lot larger. Yeah, and they have the plug-in for the phone and. So, yeah, that was fun just having that happen. And speaking of United Airlines plans to start charging passengers to reserve select seats near the front of the plane, a practice already in place at rivals American and Delta. There are just regular seats near the front of the main cabin viewed as preferred because you don't have to trapeze as far down the aisle to your seat, which is true. And they're going to add fees on that. They say some of the seat assignments are going to go for $29 and up. So a window or aisle seat is going to go to $35 one way.
You know, airlines are starting to charge for every little thing. I just made reservations on Sun Country to go back to Minnesota, and now they are charging to take a carry-on bag on and to check a bag.
Oh,
so you actually can't take any carry-on except for a little personal bag. Unless you pay for it extra.
I know. And I wanted to talk about, like I said, when we come back, we're going to just jump right into Montana. But I want to talk about how, speaking of the airlines, we flew into Bozeman. It's like Bozeman. And how the cost of the flight changed so quickly when you were booking. I let John do the work this time. It was kind of fun just to be I was just a traveler. I was that's all. I was a guest. It was fun to have someone else do all the work. So I really kind of spoiled me, but that's okay. One more thing. United Airlines adds 204,000 more seats to hot football spots.
To where?
To the football, all these places where the big games, Detroit, Oklahoma City, Columbus, Ohio. They've added, which means more flights to these areas because of football. Football even dedicates, you know, has a big part in what the airlines, where they go. It's amazing.
Big money.
What football can do. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to John Monahan and myself. We're going to tell you all about our trip to Montana, Yellowstone National Park, little bits and pieces of facts that you probably didn't even know, and a lot more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in studio with me is John Monahan. You've talked about John and I. We've traveled together to New York, and I don't even know. We've been to quite a few places.
We've done a lot of road trips.
Yeah.
And New York, and now Montana.
Grand Canyon. We went to Scottsdale. One thing that John and I, when we travel together, we are on the go the whole time. Well, we thought we were on the go until we met up with Craig and Becky.
Right.
And
oh,
they
I know.
Gave that a whole new meaning to being on the go. Now, tell everybody, just to give them an idea, who are these wonderful people that actually invited me, a stranger, complete stranger, into their home?
Okay, well, Craig and I serve on a board for a health plan in Ohio, and I've known Craig for probably, just about 4 or 5 years. But a couple meetings ago, I think I was leaving the meeting, and I said, God, Craig, I've always wanted to go to Yellowstone, because frankly, my mom and dad went when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I was so upset that they didn't take me. And I have never been there, and I've always wanted to go to Yellowstone, because my mom and dad went, and they came back, and they said what a wonderful time they had. I was always so jealous that I wasn't able to go. So as close as it is, really, I have always been thinking about going to Yellowstone, and have just never have. It's one of those things where you want to do it. It's on your bucket list, but you never really do it.
Yep.
So I just mentioned it to Craig out of a meeting one night, and he says, well, why don't you come and visit? And you know how that goes. You know, you think, oh, okay, yeah. So I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Because you really did. You thought, I want to go.
Oh, no, I really, So then Craig followed it up with an email saying, John, I just really want you to know that we really would like you to come to visit us, and we would love to show you around Yellowstone. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that would be great. So that's when I asked you, Francois, if you wanted to go. And we went there, and I tell you, Craig and Becky were like the best house ever.
We couldn't have paid. I mean, it would to that tour, if you were to buy a tour like that, you could, it would,
In fact, I don't know if they're listening, but if they are, we'll be back to see the Grand Tetons next.
Yeah, I know. You invited us back, Becky and Craig. We will be there. We're already
right.
We'll
be there.
Going. And they live in, they have a home in Big Sky.
Big Sky, Montana.
Which is interesting because I always thought Big Sky just referred to Montana in general, just a tagline, you know, Big Sky. But actually, Big Sky is a place up in the mountain section about an hour from Bozeman, which is where we landed.
Right.
Now, the Bozeman Airport.
Okay. So
a dream.
I met Francois at the office building in downtown Palm Springs. We ordered Uber or called Uber. And within 7 minutes, we got Uber and we're at the checkout at the airport. That's how fast it is. And it's so easy. I just love the Palm Springs Airport until we got to Bozeman.
Yeah.
And the Bozeman Airport is even better. So we went from Palm Springs to San Francisco, had about an hour layover, and then got on a plane to Bozeman. Got off Bozeman Airport. Now, Bozeman is a town of about 37,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get off the plane, and we're like the only people in the airport, the people on the plane. There weren't anybody waiting for flights. Yeah. We were the only ones.
Yeah.
In fact, we actually missed the ground transportation. Yeah. We weren't even looking, and we missed the turn to the ground transportation. So anyway, we walk out, and there's Craig standing there waiting for us. And I said, that's really nice for him to come out and actually meet us in the airport.
That's very nice.
And we walk out, and there his car is at curbside, not locked, no policeman there telling you to get your car out of the parking areas. And it's like, okay, this is it. This is traveling.
Yeah.
This is great.
Such a really nice airport. Again, easy to navigate in and out. Even going when we left, it was just, it has that really nice feel. You already get a little bit of the Montana feel when you're at the airport.
Yeah.
You look around and that's nice. It sort of starts the experience right then and there. The flight, it was interesting about the flight because we were going to go over Labor Day weekend. And folks, this is how you can, you know, do a little due diligence and you can save yourself some money. Labor Day weekend, it was $700 for exactly the same route that we were going to take. And you booked for us for $350, I think.
$353, round trip.
Because we changed the dates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So just
and what I do is I always go to like either Travelocity or Orbitz, and I check the airlines. Actually, google.com/flights is a great website. Tells you all the flights and the cost. And then I go to the airline directly, and you can get them for the same cost.
Get them for the same price. And then we spend a little bit of time. We had lunch in Bozeman, and it was such a quaint we saw several small towns, John, that weren't gateway cities that lead into Yellowstone. Those are very touristy, but they do have their own charm. I thought some of them were really fun-looking and looked like they'd be a lot of fun to spend time at. But we had wandered around downtown Bozeman, and it was Bozeman. trying to get say it correctly. And it really, I loved all those old historic buildings, mm-hmm. a college, a university town that people might not think.
And beautiful old homes downtown Bozeman.
Gorgeous homes, just gorgeous. And lots of, it felt like it was on big plains. What I really wasn't sure what to think of Montana. All I could pretty much visualize was big, wide open spaces. And you do get that very quickly when you're driving out of town.
And they didn't have like a lot of touristy stores, but they had a lot of nice art galleries and stores like that.
And stores that the locals use.
Uh-huh.
That's what I like. They had stores and they had the old neon signs and just each of these small towns. We went to Red Lodge, same thing.
Right. And no fast food.
No
fast food restaurants down there.
On the outskirts, maybe, but downtown, no. They kept it really, they just kept its whole feel to it. And just that in itself, Bozeman is just a fun town right there to stay there. You could stay there and just enjoy yourself for a couple of days. But from there, we went up to their home in Sky Valley and had a fabulous dinner.
Oh,
excuse me.
Big Sky.
Yeah, thank you. Had a fabulous dinner because I was thinking about the dinner we had. And then the next day, our Yellowstone adventure started.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Bright and early.
Bright and 8 in the morning. We were up, which were you and I, which was 7 or something because it was
an
hour ahead.
And we each had our ensuite rooms, own bathroom. They were just so nice, so comfortable.
Yes, very spoiled. So that day, we left all the planning up to Craig and Becky because they know the area.
Right.
And they love to take their friends that come into town to show them Yellowstone and around. So they said, they named all these places we were going, where we're going to go up Beartooth Pass. We packed a picnic lunch. We're going to do all these things. And John and I just said, okay, fine, whatever. And as soon as we hit the road and got out, they started pointing out all the different names of the creeks. You know what? They're stunning. Everywhere you look, folks, it's stunning.
It's gorgeous.
The landscape changes from plains to forests to lakes to creeks and streams.
To alpines, which is above the forest and the mountains. I learned that. Craig taught me that.
Yeah, I did not know that. The word alpine, we hear alpine village all the time. You hear about, mm-hmm. especially during ski season, they name all these little villages alpine. And again, alpine means?
It's right above the forest line in the mountains.
I did not know that. Yeah.
And it's so different because, you know, all of a sudden you're driving up and you're in evergreen trees or, you know, and then all of a sudden you reach a plateau and there's no trees.
Right. It all changes. The views are constantly changing throughout Montana and actually into Wyoming. And we're going to tell you how we ended up in Wyoming as well. But everywhere you look, there's something to see. And I was just amazed at how much water, but how the sizes of the rivers and the streams and the creeks were constantly changing and crystal clear and beautiful and fishermen scattered everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I researched a little bit about Yellowstone and only 5% of the park is covered by water.
Oh.
15% is grassland and 80% is forest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only 5%.
And
of which the biggest one is Yellowstone Lake.
Right, which is the largest lake, I think, above 7,000 feet. I had this on my notes.
That's
right.
The largest
lake in North America above 7,000 feet. And they have a boat. Guests used to go across Yellowstone Lake by ferry. That was the only way they could get to the Yellowstone Lake Lodge.
Right.
And that was only by ferry. Well, it's changed since then. I can't even imagine how back in the days of wagons and coaches, how they even navigated through the mountains of Yellowstone
and
National
actually,
Park.
Yellowstone Lake is 132 square miles, the lake is.
Oh, it's
huge.
Yeah, it was
it's huge.
Huge.
Average depth is about 140 feet, and maximum depth is like 400 feet. So it's a big lake.
It is.
And it's at like 7,700 square feet. So it is the largest lake in the United States, over 7,000 square feet.
So just when you think, folks, when you're in Yellowstone National Park, that you've seen the ultimate, then you round a corner and you see something else.
Right. Yeah. You drive like a half a mile more and there is something else.
Yeah, there is something else. So we went into Yellowstone. But first off, we went up Beartooth Pass.
Right.
Which we ended up having a picnic lunch on a turnout at the top of the mountain, 11,000 plus feet, and it was incredible.
And Craig has, what do you call that thing on top of the SUV?
It's like a little storage.
It's a little storage thing that you hook up on your car. And he had chairs in there, four chairs for us. We had a water or an ice cooler for our picnic lunch, and it was great. We took the chairs down and sat at 11,000 square feet and enjoyed a wonderful lunch.
And I want you all to think about that next time you go on a trip, such as that, seeing a national park or a state park or whatever. Instead of trying to figure out where the nearest restaurant is to go have lunch, pack a picnic and sit outside and enjoy it.
And we had the leftovers the next day at
Old Faithful.
In the parking lot.
Yes. And and that road up Beartooth Pass, whew. It's a long one.
It's a long one.
It is a long one. But the scenery, again, changes from trees to mountains to all. And you can actually see the bear tooth. We saw the bear tooth.
We saw the bear tooth many times.
Yes.
From far away and from close up.
All right. We're going to go to break here shortly. Before we do, I will give you a heads up that it's $35 per vehicle to go into Yellowstone Park. Definitely well worth it. Of course, they have all the campgrounds. We'll tell you about the villages and communities inside there with lodging. We'll get in that. We'll talk about the animals, the thermal pools, the bison traffic jam. Just so much to talk about on our Montana, Wyoming adventure into Yellowstone National Park and around it as well, the Gateway Towns and Beartooth. So on that note, we will step aside for just a moment. I'm looking at, Continental Divide 2. Want to tell you about that. John, you're going to kind of give us an idea about the Continental Divide?
Yes, I was researching last night.
Because that's confusing. We went twice over the Continental Divide.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. We are talking about my recent adventure, which actually was during last week, to Montana, Yellowstone National Park. Joining me is John Monahan. We both traveled together to visit his friends that live in Big Sky, Craig and Becky, and we have to give them Host of the Year Award, if not more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Absolutely host of the year, if not host of the decade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have to tell them, though, they've spoiled us completely. So anybody else out there that wants to host us, you better just step up your game.
Puts me to shame on how to host. I told both of them, I said, you've taught me some things about how to host because I have a lot of company and I don't host like they do, but I will try to.
Well, and they love their area so much to share with us. So we made our way after our venture at Beartooth Pass and our picnic lunch, and we finally made our way into Yellowstone National Park.
Yes, and there are actually five entrances to Yellowstone, three of which are in Montana. And Yellowstone actually was founded in 1872, and it was the world's first national park. And it has about 3,500 square miles, or about a little over 2 million acres.
Wow.
I know, it's a huge park.
Yeah.
But of Yellowstone, 96% of the park is in Wyoming, 3% in Montana, and only 1% in Idaho.
Which we were surprised, because I had not even figured Wyoming into the picture for some reason. I don't know why. I just hadn't. I thought Yellowstone, I almost thought of Yellowstone as its own country
and
in my brain.
I actually thought it was like half and half.
Until
we got there. And Craig actually showed a map, and it's like this little sliver in Idaho and a bigger sliver in Montana.
In Montana.
Yeah.
And so I got to put two pins on my map that's on the wall. I put a pin every time I go to somewhere. So that was exciting.
And the highest point in Yellowstone is about 11,400 feet, and the lowest point is 5,200 feet.
Mm-hmm. And we traversed down many scenic points of interest, and we were out of the car, in and out of the car a lot. And the elevation did actually affect us, because Craig was explaining we were getting about 30% less oxygen than we're used to.
And it affected us when we were hiking to look at the trails, because I got winded and I blamed it on the elevation. Yeah. Not that I'm not fit.
I think the elevation just towards the top, because there are some, you definitely want to be a little adventurous and wear comfortable walking shoes, because if you really want to see Yellowstone, besides camping there and just immersing yourself in it, if you only are able to drive through it each day, you have to get out and go to these points of interest and look at them.
Right. Here's a couple other bits of trivia, that Yellowstone actually includes an active volcano, mm-hmm. although it's dormant, and the park experiences about 1,000 to 3,000 earthquakes annually, but you don't feel them. I think the last one that they felt was like 20 years ago, they said. So yeah, but there's thousands or 3,000 earthquakes a year. There are about 10,000 thermal features, more than 300 geysers. So not just Old Faithful, but 300 geysers throughout the park.
I think we saw 250 of them.
Oh, we must have. We saw a lot of them. And it's got approximately 290 waterfalls that are 15 feet or higher.
And we saw a lot of beautiful.
We saw a lot. In fact, the lower falls is about 308 feet high, higher than Niagara.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, it is.
I did not know that.
And they receive about over 4 million visitors they received last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the park, again, what would you say, 2.2 million acres? So you think that's going to spread out all the visitors. It does, but there are only so many main arteries, as I'm looking at the map in front of me, that run through Yellowstone. So you're going to ultimately, we were seeing visitors at different places that we stopped that we'd seen at different ones as well.
And for that large of an area, there are only 9 hotels in the park, 2,000 plus hotel rooms. There are 12 campgrounds and 12 campgrounds and about 2,200 campsites.
All right, because we did see people kind of just all over the place in the camping. Even though they were designating camping, we saw RVs, tents, a little bit of everything out there. The lodging on these communities, these villages that had the lodging folks were normally around big tourist attraction like Old Faithful.
Uh-huh.
And it was the Mammoth Madison area, Mammoth, I'm probably getting that wrong. Of course, Lake Village, they had where the hotel was up there. Different areas, they're designated hotels. They're huge hotels. They're not small ones. They're large
hotels. Yeah, they are big.
They are very expensive, by the way. You want to check online to try to get the best price. And they don't normally have televisions because you're there to be outside.
They have internet, but no telephone.
Right, exactly. Right.
And no telephones.
And no telephones. But something we noticed, because I've known through past years, traveling through national parks, there is usually no cell service through the entire park. But I think because of the magnitude of Yellowstone and the fact that cell phone is the way of the world, at the major stops, Old Faithful and Mammoth and a few of the others, and they are putting in another cell tower, you can. On my Verizon plan, I was getting really good reception in those spots. And people were able to use their phones.
Actually, I had Sprint, and I wasn't able to use mine. And I got a notice from Sprint that I had used so much roaming data. I've never even used roaming before, but I had so much roaming data that they shut my roaming off.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they shut it off, which is a good thing.
Huh. Yeah, but Verizon seemed to, that's why I have Verizon, because of traveling, seemed to be just fine, but only in those spots. Otherwise, you are not getting cell reception when you are in Yellowstone National Park, which is nice, though, frankly, because you're doing so much and seeing so much. You don't want to spend it on your phone. You want to take pictures and then post them later on. So camping was big. We saw lots of RVers, lots of campers, lots of people staying in the lodging. And some of these communities, they had general stores, some large, some small.
Oh,
clinics, medical clinics.
In fact, Craig's daughter-in-law manages medical clinics in Yellowstone.
There.
Yellowstone has about 3,500 employees year-round, or not year-round, during the summer, during the season.
And Yellowstone Park is open year-round. However, some of the roads are closed.
Right, and only 99,000 people visit during the winter.
Yeah, well, we were there the weekend after Labor Day, and it was very, very busy. And Craig and Becky were saying, well, this is nothing. You should see it right in the middle of the summer. It's just, winter. So we were there at a good time, but definitely.
But if you want to see geysers, Yellowstone is the place to go. In fact, it's got 67% of the world's geysers are in Yellowstone.
And we saw them. We went to several of them. They are beautiful. And the waters, the hot springs that are underneath them, and there's a story behind each one. The colors of the water, the geysers coming up, they kind of time Old Faithful around every 44 to 60.
To 90 minutes.
90 minutes, okay.
And I think we had to wait a little over an hour.
Yeah.
And I think Old Faithful shoots up about 150 feet.
Yep.
But the world's largest geyser is Norris Geyser Basin, which we are at. And that shoots 300 feet. But remember that? But it only shoots every, 5 to 9 days.
Oh, and that's where the people were waiting.
Right. We went there, and there are people like waiting like a parade was going to happen. I mean, they had their lounge chairs out there. And they were just sitting there. And we did actually talk to a couple. And they said, well, the last geyser shot 5 days ago, so we're taking our chances. So they got there like at 6 in the morning. They were going to be there probably until dark and then go back the next day if it hadn't shot, taking their chances to see it shoot 300 feet.
And they're just sitting there and watching the geyser there with this little bubbling stuff. And there's, I guess, geysers do something they call it spits out water first. Yeah. Old Faithful does. So you know it's going to actually blow soon.
Right,
and
right.
You watch it. And what I said earlier in the show, in the first hour of the show, I thought when Old Faithful went off that everyone was going to go,
like fireworks.
Yes, and applaud and all. Here I'm seeing. I have a video on my Facebook post page, on my Facebook page, folks, Traveling with Francoise, of Old Faithful, you know, doing its thing.
Blowing.
Yeah, and then at the end, a few people clapped and left.
Right, right.
I thought, well, okay. So,
and they were sitting there for probably, well, it took an hour. So they were sitting there for a little over an hour. Waiting for the geyser, but you know, we did. But we went and had our picnic.
Right, we did have our picnic, and then go. We went shopping in the general store. Right. We looked around, and we looked at the hotel there. That old hotel, beautiful, beautiful property. I mean, actually, all the accommodations that we saw were magnificent because most of them were built way back in when Yellowstone was opening, or in the first 10 years to 15, 20 years that opened. And it really is. Whew, they're just majestic in the setting of all this changing scenery everywhere you look. Now, we have to talk about the animals. We also have to talk about the hot springs themselves. We saw at Mammoth, an area called Mammoth. I think of Mammoth, I think of up in California. You know, we have the Mammoth ski runs and all that sort of stuff. But they have a place called Mammoth Hot Springs where the water that comes out through the years, it seeps out of the ground. It's so hot that it would dissolve your body, actually, if you jumped into it. But it's made these formations that look like stacks of marble blocks.
They look like travertine.
It's like unbelievable.
Light travertine.
And it's just all the formation from the water. I don't even understand how it can make those sharp edges. It looks like steps all the
For
way up this
years
mountain.
And years and years and
just breathtaking.
Million years of flowing.
Yeah, you look at it and you first want to say somebody did that.
Right.
Somebody stacked all that. That's not. But then when you get closer, you see all the pools, the thermal pools and the water running out and the little vents with the steam coming out. We even were walking by one where we could hear the water underneath the ground.
Do you remember the one that looked like it was like mud that was boiling?
What
was it called? The mud?
The mud pots.
Mud pots. Right. The mud pots.
Artists.
And picture this. It would be like a small swimming pool that was filled with like oatmeal.
Yeah.
Bubbling. And that's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah. Just incredible.
It was really interesting.
I mean, I didn't think that there would be something to top the next when we got to a geyser or an area, the geyser basin. And you walk through these basins on these boardwalks that are all wood that go over the top of it. And you could feel the heat coming in different spots from these thermal pools and the colors that blue.
And again, they're like small spas that are just boiling.
Yeah, that you can't go in.
And they don't even have signs. Please don't go on.
No, just right at the beginning of each of the boardwalks says danger zone on the ground, stay on the boardwalk. That's it. Which I kind of like though, that they didn't have to constantly sign after sign after sign.
Right.
I did enjoy that. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the animals that we saw at Yellowstone National Park. It was quite fun. I'm always like a big kid when I even see a bird in a tree. I don't know what my problem is. But anyway, it was just a ton of fun. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today in studio as we are talking about my recent trip to Montana with John Monahan, my good friend who is sitting here next to me to my left, John.
That's right.
And I got to meet his friends, Becky and Craig, who are our host and hostesses and tour guides supreme, if ever. I don't know if... Yeah, we don't want to give you their last name because everybody would be calling them wanting to go on a tour, on a Becky and Craig tour.
And Francois and I are already planning on what can we do with Craig and Becky when they come to Palm Springs.
So we actually came up with a very good itinerary. We have a lot of things planned for them, John. We do. So
we do.
We're not going to say it on the air. We don't want to spoil it for them. All right, animals. Two things I don't want to forget. Before we talk about animals, let's talk about Continental Divide. What is it?
Okay.
We went over the
And there's
divide.
A sign that says Continental Divide. And it's like, what is a Continental Divide? I mean, I've heard it so many times.
So
I looked it up, researched it last night.
Good.
And what the Continental Divide is in the Americas is a line that divides the flow of water between the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. And it's interesting. There's a Continental Divide on every continent except for Antarctica.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So in the Americas, the Continental Divide in North America goes from Canada to Montana to Idaho through Wyoming, through Colorado, through Mexico and down to – or through New Mexico and down to Mexico.
Okay, because I was at the Continental Divide, took a picture when I was in Colorado. And the elevations are really some of the highest points out there. But twice we were in Yellowstone Park that we went.
Right.
There were signs that said Continental Divide.
So precipitation that drains on the east side of the Continental Divide goes into the Atlantic Ocean, and on the west side it flows into the Pacific Ocean. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that is interesting. Darn, I didn't know that.
That is it.
That's what
the Continental Divide is.
When you're on the Continental Divide, folks, stop and take a picture. That's one thing we didn't do, but a lot of people were taking pictures by the sign.
And it's only in 5 states in the western United States.
So I've been to 3 spots now. Very exciting. All right, animals. You go to Yellowstone. I wanted to see a grizzly bear. All right, where are my notes here? It talks about how many animals, 67 species of mammals, including grizzly bears, wolves, bison, moose, and elk, and more than 320 birds species. There are also bighorn sheep. There are deer. There are eagles. There are moose and wolves.
So here's some interesting trivia about wolves. Did you know that the wolves, gray wolves in Yellowstone, were actually exterminated from Yellowstone in the mid-1920s for predator control purposes? And they were reintroduced into Yellowstone in 1995, and they brought 2 packs of wolves, 14 wolves total, from Canada, and reintroduced them to Yellowstone. Now, wouldn't you think that we would have, like, thousands of wolves? In fact, I did.
Yeah.
And I researched this, like, 5 different sites because I just couldn't believe that there are so few wolves. There's only 12 packs of wolves in Yellowstone and about 110 wolves in 22 years. And I thought there would be thousands of them. And I went on to, like, 4 different sites just to verify it. And sure enough, that's what it is.
And there's no hunting in Yellowstone Park.
No,
so there's
no
one hunting any of these. So that is I wonder if maybe they – just travel so much, maybe they leave Yellowstone at some point.
I don't think they leave. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, but
that's a whole other show.
But we saw a lot of bison. In fact, there are traffic jams. Everybody, the bison, of course, it looked like big buffaloes.
I think I saw that there were about 5,000 bison
and growing
in Yellowstone.
And babies everywhere, little baby bisons everywhere. I kept my eye out for bears and wolves, didn't see them. We saw an osprey in a tree. We saw some fox on the way home the other night back to the Big Sky, the house in Big Sky. A couple foxes on the road. They had bighorn sheep in Yellowstone Park. But here's one thing that they really stress is these animals are dangerous. They say do not approach and feed any animal, especially the bison, bears, and elk have injured and killed people because people do stupid things.
Well, what was that little town Mammoth, was it, where there are elk right in the yards of
everywhere.
The buildings? And, like, we are very, very close. And it looked like they were, like, almost pets and that you could go up and pet them, but, you know, you don't dare.
You didn't. And there were ranger walking around. There are rangers throughout the park. Of course, they can't cover every spot. But they really warn you about the animals, especially don't get between a mother and her baby and things like that. And, yeah, the elk and pronghorn sheep and what Craig was saying and Becky both, that they stay in these populated villages because they're still safe there.
Right.
Yeah, and with all the cars and the people and it's really something. Now, we had bear spray. We each had our own can of bear spray. We never used it. I kind of wish we almost had to just so I would have got a picture. But no, we didn't use it. We were laughing when Craig brings out all these cans of bear spray. Yeah, were they really?
Well, they actually use hairspray out by their house, too.
The bear spray, yeah. Yeah, because they have moose.
They have a moose that goes up to the bedroom window. I wasn't able to see it, but I left my drapes open one night. I could see it.
And bear. Becky was showing pictures of bear in their driveway, a bear and 2 cubs. It is big sky country. I mean, animals are everywhere.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is really beautiful. But they tell you to be, you know, watch out for bear encounters. They have everything in the lodging areas and the campsites, the trash cans and stuff. They have little hooks under them so the bears can't open them. And they tell you to be safe, and they give you all these. Actually, there was a Think Safety. Yellowstone is a dangerous place. This was in the news guide that they give you when you're driving in, going through the entrance. They give you a newspaper and information about, to give you a map of the park and warnings about be careful when it comes to bear and what you should do in case you run across a bear.
And it's in about 10 different languages, I think, that
it is,
piece
yeah.
of literature.
And the reason they do this is because there are so many hiking trails. Everywhere you look.
Oh, there's miles and miles of hiking trails. In fact, I've got it right here. There are 950 miles of hiking trails,
mm-hmm.
92 trailheads, and 300 backcountry campsites. So if you want to hike and go camp, there's 300 campsites somewhere.
And we saw cars parked with nobody around them, and they were near trailheads where people just take off by themselves back into the woods. So you really have to have an idea of what you're doing, and they can't stress enough how you have to watch out for the animals. I did get out of the car when the bison were causing a traffic jam, a bison jam, and took some pictures, but then Craig was saying, don't make eye contact with him, which then got me nervous because he started looking my way, that big old bison there, and I kind of ran back to the car.
They are big.
Yeah.
But, they are really big.
I didn't
big.
See a lot of rabbits anywhere, which surprised me. I expect to see rabbits everywhere.
I think the wolves get them.
Probably.
Actually, okay, so wolves actually attack elk, and each wolf kills about 22 elk a year.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. 22 elk a year. Each wolf kills.
And we saw deer as well. We saw just regular Bambi and her babies. We saw them. Didn't see the bighorn sheep anywhere. We didn't see any moose either. I was surprised. But we did see the elk. So that was...
Right.
Yeah. So we just have to go back to see the grizzly. We're going to do a grizzly scout next time.
That's in the Grand Tetons.
Yeah. There you go.
Craig and Becky.
Yeah. You get our drift here. All in all, it was just a fabulous trip. I couldn't have, I didn't know what to expect.
It was. It was the best trip ever. And it was like 3 nights. And look what we did.
In
4 days and 3 nights.
We were just looking at the map again. And we stayed at Chico, this old historic hotel.
Which has ghosts.
A ghost, yeah. Yeah, and we just, I don't know. It was just really a wonderful trip. So, folks, if you're planning a trip to Yellowstone National Park, if you have a chance to go with people that know the area, don't say no. Do it.
Do it.
Because you're going to see so much more than if you just went on your own.
And if you don't go with friends who know Yellowstone, make sure you really research it before you go, because there's a lot of turnouts that you want to go. We didn't even talk about the Artist Point, which is absolutely incredible. It's not a geyser. It's called the Artist Point, which is they call the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. It's absolutely incredible, amazing.
And sunsets, Yellowstone, just a real adventure for the entire family. You won't be sorry that you went. Really put it on your list to do.
And fly into Bozeman.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, and enjoy yourself and take your time. John, thanks so much for joining me. It was a lot of fun having you back on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. We'll
do this again after our next trip.
After our next adventure. Folks, thank you so much. You have a great week. We'll be back next week. I'll be back in here live. We're going to be talking about an event that serves chocolates. And then we're going to be talking about my trip to Ramona, and the television show should be pretty much ready by then. So have a good one. And remember, it's never too late to get a life.